This beautiful scripture, everyone, today is a very appropriate scripture to read on a day of joy. And it's the Advent candle lighting for joy. And it's a very important message in the Bible that God teaches us for our good and so that we would experience his joy. There's perhaps no greater example of this than the song that we just heard read in God's word in the book of Luke, and it was sung by Mary. And of course, we have heard of Mary in the Bible and that she was the one who gave birth to Jesus. I thought it would be a good idea to just review a little bit of what happened that led up to this beautiful song that she sang, which is known as the Magnificat. Magnificat means to magnify the name of the Lord. And we'll take a look at that scripture in just a moment. But you'll remember that the Bible says that it was the angel Gabriel sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And it was sent to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And all of those things are lining up with God's incredible plan to bring his son Jesus into the world. The virgin's name, of course, was Mary. And he came to her, Gabriel did, and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And as we go on with the story, it says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" And it's at this point that we read in the book of Luke the great Magnificat song that Mary sang. Isn't that wonderful? Just such an incredible story of a person's life being changed in an instant into God's service and encountering him in an incredible way through the power of the Holy Spirit, through a messenger, an angel. And we didn't read this part, but Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, was visited by God through an angel, and he also was aware of what was going to happen, that God was blessing his wife Elizabeth and him with a son, who we know later was John the Baptist. But Mary was visited by this angel sent from God in her small town of Nazareth. And she was a virgin, and so she wondered, how could this be? I have yet to be with a man. How is this going to happen that I would give birth to the chosen one, to the Son of God, the Messiah, in this way? And the angel told her it would be the Holy Spirit that would come upon her. The power of the Most High would overshadow her. And therefore the child to be born would be called Holy, the Son of God. He would not be born into sin such as Adam. He was the Son of God, and he would be holy, without sin, coming into the womb to grow, to be a baby, and then to be born at what we know as Christmas time. And so this is a remarkable, remarkable story of how God came into our world as a baby through Mary. Just a few things about the Magnificat. The Magnificat, the song that Mary sings and that we'll look at now, is the first of three hymns in chapters 1 and 2 of Luke. Right? And we will also look at those over time, but you can also read the first two chapters of Luke and learn more about these other hymns that were sung. It follows the pattern, this Magnificat, follows the pattern of Psalms of Thanksgiving. First thanking God, and then saying why one is thankful. And that is what we read in Mary's song. Her entire being is being caught up in praise of God. Right? She's, now take a look at the scripture with me. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That is the thanks that she gives. And then in verse 48, we read why. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And so we can learn so much from this scripture here of our own engagement with God and the great things that we learn and how they affect our lives and what our response should be. We magnify the Lord, such a remarkable and wonderful way to express it, isn't it? It isn't just like I praise the Lord or I lift up the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. It is though she is saying, I am not using the normal language that I've used because God has come and touched me in a real way through the Holy Spirit. And now I magnify his name. I magnify him. He is greater than anything that I could ever have imagined before this day. And so we too, when we are touched by the Lord, can say, my soul magnifies the Lord. Amen. And then she goes on to say, my spirit, again, her whole being rejoices in God my Savior. And herein is the word joy for us. Our soul magnifies the Lord, and our spirits rejoice in God my Savior. Can we not receive that also today as our response to the Lord for what he has done for us? And that joy comes in the word rejoice in God my Savior. God my Savior also is an instruction to us that Mary also was a sinner. She herself was blessed by God, and he came to her in a magnificent way, but yet she was in need of a Savior. God was her Savior. And she was a sinner just like all of us. Yet God showed great mercy toward her. And that is what she says. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. And this is not in any way something that Mary is saying to draw attention to herself. No, it's the opposite of that. She is stating that she is an ordinary woman, a very young woman in her teens. And yet God has looked down upon her humble estate as a young, ordinary girl growing up in a small town called Nazareth. And he has looked on me, this humble estate of mine. And behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. She possessed the insight from the Holy Spirit and from what God had said to her, that what was going to happen for her now was going to be remembered by generations of people. And it was not because of her greatness, but because of God's greatness at work in her. And so she exhibited this kind of a spirit in that way. And it was overwhelming to her, causing her to break out in this inspired song. And so God also looks down on us, everyone. He looks down on us in love. He looks down on our humble estate and blesses us by letting the snow fall to remind us of him, by doing so many different things. But the most important thing that he has done is he has looked down upon us in our sinful state, that we are in need of a savior, and he provided that savior to us in himself. And therefore we praise him, and we give him our lives, and we recognize that because of that, we have been blessed greatly. Perhaps not to the extent that Mary was blessed. She was chosen to give birth to the Son of God. But we are the recipients of that Savior who came into the world, and he has blessed us in our own lives. And then she goes on to say, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him." And so Mary, again, instructively, as we've been learning from God and teaching us these things, that there are things that we need to know. And she calls him powerful, mighty, he who is mighty. And she teaches us God is mighty in power. Right? He has done great things for me. It's said with great wonder. It's said with great awe and appreciation of what God has done for her. It's said with a sense that she is undeserving, and yet God has come into her life in this powerful way to show himself to her. And so he who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. And again, we spoke of that with the snow and how it exhibits and represents God's holiness. It's the whiteness, the purity of God, the righteousness of God that is seen today on this snowy day. But she says, holy is his name. And it's not just his name, but it is his being. He is holy. He is perfect in every way. And so she teaches us also that God is holy. And then finally, in verse 50, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. And so she instructs us that God is a merciful God. He is a merciful God toward those who fear him. And this fear is a reverence for God. Mary herself, when she came, was approached by the angel, was troubled in her spirit. Who wouldn't have been when such a being came into your life like that? But slowly, slowly we learn about Mary as this story evolves to see that, yes, initially her heart was troubled, but at the same time, she began to piece together all the things that she had heard in her Jewish faith from the prophets of old who were speaking through this angel and telling her that this son was from the line of David, that all of these things that she had to have heard while she was growing up in the faith of the Jewish faith were becoming realized in that moment right there at that time. And she was involved. And that is what God wants us to also know, that we are not just merely reciting these words, mighty and holy and merciful. They are a reality of God's power in answering his promise to bring salvation and life eternal into the world, to restore the world. And Mary, as she went along in this song, evoked more and more inspiration from the Holy Spirit to bring out that instruction from the Old Testament to say, it is now here. It is now in my life, and it is now in the lives of people that hear this great news. She goes on to say, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Everyone, this is particularly important because it draws upon Isaiah and all of the things that he taught about how the hungry would be given food that would be everlasting and they would hunger no more. The thirsty would come to God and that he would give them water that would be eternal so that they would thirst no more. And all of these things that were taught in the Old Testament come alive in Mary's thoughts and the things that she evokes here to teach us that this is the moment of fulfillment of all of those things, that Christ Jesus came in this form as a baby, but would grow to be a man, and that he was going to satisfy the souls of people like her and others that believed in him so that they would have eternal life with him. Their sins would be forgiven and they would be given new life. And there's an important aspect to this as well that is so important for us to learn today. At the time that Mary lived, it is known that the area that she lived in was of great poverty. There were people there that were mistreated, right? Because the proud were in control of all of the government and all of the things that were going on. And the areas were depressed with poverty and people were struggling like that. And it was such that the wealthy felt that they always would be that way and that they possessed that power, and that the poor were under this impression that they were born that way and that would never change. And Jesus comes into the world and he changes it. And that is what she's expressing. And she herself was a part of that group that was called Israel, that was under duress from the government that they were being controlled by. And she saw in that also this coming of Jesus as being a change that would be brought as a result of the fulfillment of God's promises. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. And so we see the joy that is coming out of her because she can see that which God is doing in this great moment. She goes on to say, he has filled the hungry with good things. Isn't that beautiful? And the rich he has sent away empty. Things are going to be turned around. And we know that when we read the story of Jesus and the things that he taught to the people in his generation that he was speaking to, and extending into our own, that Jesus came to set the prisoners free. He came to raise up those who were poor, mainly poor in spirit, people who are humble before him. But the rich he would send away empty and say that they had no power and they also needed to bow before Almighty God. Again, in verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel. These people who were under duress, who were under the duress of sin yet on one side, but also under duress from the society in which they lived. But God has helped his servant Israel now in remembrance of his mercy. And so she beautifully phrases this, that God has remembered his mercy of old, and now is the moment. Now is that time. And it's fulfilled in the time of Mary, and she is a part of that. She says, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. So do you see the connection that she makes even with Abraham and all of those prophets? And remember that we had scripture that was telling us that the Old Testament, the fathers and the people, the prophets of the Old Testament are instructive in telling us what is going to happen to us when Christ comes. And that is what we want to understand here today, that there is instruction here, but there is also immense joy and power of a woman who has been used by God in her humble estate to bring forth the Savior whose name is Jesus, and he would come to set us free. There's one aspect of this that I've been preparing some testimonies that will be read by people like Mary and Joseph and the shepherds on Christmas Eve at the candlelight service. And I hope that you'll be able to join that night. But in reviewing these things, And reviewing these people and looking at the life of Mary more closely, I can see within, you know, and preparing a testimony of the things that she said and did, and also looking at her life and the immense responsibility that was put on her shoulders in this kind of a way to bear a son and have him living inside of her, literally living inside of her. And isn't it really a message to us that God desires to come that close to his people, that he would be born in the womb of a poor girl? And doesn't that speak to us of the desire of God to come into our lives in a way so that he is living within us? That is what happened. And we can think about Mary and consider her, but this was a woman that possessed great intellect and insight. She was a woman who listened to what Gabriel said to her, silently taking in every word. Yes, she was at first startled, but who wouldn't be when an angel comes and talks to you? But from that point on, she's silent until she asks the question, how is this going to be? And it's actually a very, very practical question. How am I going to be pregnant with the Son of God? And she listens intently to the answer. Again, I'll read it to you again, what the angel said. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Do you hear the instruction there? And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary's response? More questions? No. She heard what she had heard throughout all of the time that she was alive in the faith that she was a part of, that the Messiah was coming, and her response in knowing that she was the one who would give birth to that Messiah was, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. And this, brothers and sisters, should be our response. This is the response of all of us that we are being instructed with by this blessed woman who has been chosen by God because she's beautiful and rich and powerful. No. God lifts up those who are weak and he makes them strong. And he uses people often in the Bible who are particularly ordinary and uses them to bring glory to his name. And those who are listening today that feel that you're ordinary, take heart in knowing that God can use you as well, that he loves you and he wants to be near to you. And he sent his son to show you how serious he is in keeping that promise and making that evident to us. And so Mary has no choice but to take in all these things. And when Elizabeth, the older relative in her life, who could very well have been very jealous of Mary and felt like, why am I not that person giving birth to the Messiah, extols God and says, blessed is this woman. And how could I be blessed by the Lord's servant coming to visit me? And so there's humbleness everywhere. And there's teaching and instruction here for us in our lives so that when we read the Bible, that we see the continuity of it and we see that there are greater things at hand that call our attention to how great God is, how powerful he is, how mighty in holiness he is, and how merciful he is, that his heart is tender and kind and filled with compassion. And these are all of the gifts that God gives to us this Christmas. He has given us peace. He has given us hope. He has given us now joy. And next week, we will look at the powerful love that is behind every one of these. And on Christmas Eve, at the candlelight service, we will light the Christ candle, the very tallest, and the snow-colored candle that represents the purity of our holy God that Jesus came into the world without sin, but went to the cross to die for our sins. And that is the great song that God has given to us today to see and to see ourselves in. Won't you receive the message of God today through the Magnificat of Mary and say to the Lord, my soul magnifies you. My spirit rejoices in you, God, my Savior. Amen.